Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Kyle with me, and we have a very special first-time guest on our show. He's newer to our church, but we were really excited to have him come on today. Welcome to the show, Jake Woodruff. Welcome, Jake.
Hello, everybody.
So it's been really cool because as Jake has been getting incorporated into our church, he's actually been a really good host. So recently he hosted our karaoke night that was in combination with our game night. So how was karaoke night for you, Jake?
Yeah, it was good. Pastor Barry says a lot about Catalyst being a generational church. And I think that was a good example of what we experienced that night. There were young kids, there were teenagers, there were, you know, the parents and maybe even some grandparents
definitely.
Who all enjoyed it. So I think it was really good because I enjoy karaoke a lot. It's a good way to socialize. But, you know, most of the time we have to go out to, you know, a bar late at night and stuff. And there could be some good people out there, but it being a bit more of a family type of experience where people could sing and maybe not stay up too late, you know, I think it was a really good time.
Speaking of family, it was really cool because you invited your cousin. He got to participate and sing karaoke with the rest of us.
Yep, exactly. And he's a Christian. So he, you know, he, well, he grew up a Christian with his family. And so he occasionally goes to church out in San Luis Obispo.
Oh, nice.
And so I think it was kind of nice to have him there.
Yeah. So next time I'll have to participate. I had to leave early because my one son had an early morning the next day for a game. But karaoke is not my favorite. My wife loves it, but I will join in the next time.
Yeah.
So you got my word on that one.
All right, nice. I mean, I'm very encouraging and optimistic when it comes to singing. So I know a lot of people feel like you're born with, you know, talent. You either got it or you don't have it.
Well, Jake, you definitely got it because, all night I was like, wow, Jake is so dynamic with his voice. He can do the high, he can do the low, he can do the melody, he can just do everything.
Thank you. But yeah, so for a lot of people, even if you feel like you can't sing, I will be encouraging and open. Maybe we'll have some type of get together where we can practice a little bit of vocal stuff so you could feel more confident. Because the biggest thing is that, you know, just not understanding it, right? If you have more awareness, like, I can make my voice more dopey. Whoa. Make it more nasally where it's really in the nose. So there's ways that even if you don't like your natural voice, you can adjust the tone until you get a pretty sound, you know?
All right. I like that.
Yeah.
Little tips from Jake already.
Yeah.
I think one thing that really stood out to me, Jake, was you just really made it fun.
Yeah.
Like just the way that you hosted, the way that you were singing, you just made it fun for everybody. And I think everybody that was there experienced it. So if you didn't get a chance to come out to karaoke night the first time, I'm pretty sure it sounded like it was a success and they were thinking about doing it again. So you might want to check it out next time. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was nice. So definitely a lot of people there. Sometimes we have events where we try to get karaoke and, you know, we have to constantly persuade people get up. But, you know, I felt like there's a lot of people who were already ready to go, and anybody who was a little bit shy, it definitely didn't take much, you know.
Yeah, that's good.
Pretty much everybody, the vibe was pretty relaxed, and yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So, I Kyle, did you know that Jake is actually a celebrity?
I've heard. I haven't actually seen the evidence myself, but I know you have.
Yeah, so it was interesting because, well, when we first approached Jake to come on the podcast, you know, we heard that he's been dealing with the content and like wrestling with it. It's like, oh, Jake would be a good person to come on and talk to about Awe of God, because that's the series that we're in that we're talking about at church. And then he said, oh, are we going to talk about Love on the Spectrum? And I was like, what is that all about? And he's like, yeah, I was on that show. It's like, oh, maybe I should go check it out. So I did. And it was really cool to see you on TV and see you on Netflix. And so how was that experience of being on a Netflix produced TV show? How was that for you?
Yeah, I think it was pretty good. And I guess it's kind of, it was kind of nerve wracking a little bit.
I can imagine.
Yeah, because, you know, I've been in music, and I've had interest in, you know, becoming an animator and, you know, kind of making a name for myself in some ways when I was young, you know, probably in my teenage years and then my young adult years and stuff. And, you know, over time, I guess my motivation for that is, you know, I like the idea of, you know, being loved, you know, but in more of a, not like I just want people to treat me good and, you know, kind of thing. Because I was a bit of a loner in high school and stuff, and had a single mom and stuff. Yeah, so getting the opportunity to be on the show was something where it's like maybe God kind of bringing like, okay, you know, here's your chance to kind of be in the spotlight kind of thing. But I was, you know, kind of nervous about it. And so sometimes when people see the show, it's kind of tough, and I guess I have a hard time, like I reflect a lot, because people will see the show. If you see the episode, you know, a lot of people's impression is like, oh, you know, he got on the show, he wants to showcase his music or something. And that's something that I don't really feel like is true, you know, but it's kind of weird because, as I said, you know, I've been in music and there's a certain kind of career path I want. But as I got older, I learned a little bit more of just wanting to feel comfort and have family and have love and all this stuff. And I have less care now at this point in my life to be famous, especially at this point in time with all the TikTok and all this stuff. Like, fame is not as glamorous as it was. Yeah, yeah. Like, when you think back in the 90s and you saw Brad Pitt, or you saw some of these others, like, wow, that's really cool. And they're, you know, everything's going good and they have abundance of money and things that they can, like, if they saw a person who was struggling on the street, they could just, you know, give them something and change their life, you know? Right. And nowadays, you know, it's like constantly needing to be on the phone and constantly validating, and there's stuff about that. So by the time I got the opportunity, I was kind of maybe not really as enthusiastic about it. And yeah, I guess when I filmed, it's a bit of a longer kind of story. I'll let you guys ask me more questions about it. But basically how I ended up on the show was that my mom and my brother really like watching a lot of those reality shows, like Love on the Spectrum and 90 Day Fiancé. And with the, what is the race one? The World Race?
Oh,
Amazing Race.
Amazing Race, yeah. And so there's a few times where my brother will watch a show and then he will think, oh, because he wants to be on the show, but not really. So he's going to put me on the show instead. So there was even times for, like, you know, 90 Day Fiancé where he was like, oh, you know, I'll make an account for you for, like, Thai Wife Finder or something.
Talk about throwing someone under the bus.
Yeah. And so there was that and everything, and kind of joked about it and everything. But anyways, that was something that was in the past. And then I'll have to definitely give more information just so for people listening, they're not assuming, like, my family has always been, like, trying to, like, one of those stage, you know, families. I'll definitely give more information so you have a full understanding of it. But anyways, with Love on the Spectrum, you know, my mom, my brother saw Dani on the first season talking about her, you know, interest in animation. She's been doing it since she was a teenager, and how every year she goes to Comic-Con and networks and she showcases her animated projects at the International Children's Film Festival. And one year, I think after hearing that, you know, Dani on the show saying that, my mom and brother thought, hey, we should send Jake to Comic-Con. So my mom had the idea of kind of making it a me and her kind of trip, like going up to San Diego and doing that. And this was a bit after my return from Spain where I was engaged and it didn't work out. And so I was a little bit, like, you know, maybe down or feeling a little. So, and my mom has an interest in writing scripts and stuff. So it was like a good activity for us to go. And And so, yeah, anyways, we went over to Comic-Con and we went to Danny's booth. We didn't know whether or not she, you know, we would get along or if she would be swarmed with fans because of the first season. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, the booth was kind of empty at the time. I guess they were kind of staying there and doing other things. And then we went up and talked to her and her aunt and uncle and told them a little bit about, you know, ourselves. You know, I do art and music, and we have, my mom is the one that created the supported living service where we work with adults with disabilities, AIM Living Services. She started that when I was, you know, for 35 years we've had that. And so we told them about that, told them about the space, and then there just seemed to be, you know, some type of chemistry. And we end up having lunch with them. Then later that night we went to karaoke, and I showed them my art. And then they said, hey, Jake, you know, maybe you should come and join us for a workshop that we're teaching in Bakersfield for animation. And I had joined Danny and Sandy for that. And basically I did a good job, and then we developed a good relationship. And at some point they asked if I wanted to go on the show or go on a date with Danny.
That's interesting to hear the backstory of how that actually came about. Like I would have thought it would just been like an application and then you just got like the lucky pick or whatever.
Right. Sometimes people might imagine that, like, oh, I messaged Danny in her DMs on Instagram, and I was like a slithery snake like trying to trick my way into being like. But no, I mean, I was overall pretty laid back and, you know, friendly person, and I did good while teaching in her thing. And I think her aunt, you know, said, hey, you know, this new season is coming up and, you know, we think you're, you know, we like you and everything. Do you want to go on a date with Danny? And that was when I was coming more to terms with my autism diagnosis, because I was diagnosed at 4. But me and my mom didn't really believe it was accurate. We figure, oh, they're just diagnosing everybody just so they could get them on a medication subscription or something like that. Yeah. And so for years, we kind of forgot a little bit about it, didn't really consider it anything. But I still had challenges in school. I repeated first grade. There was a lot of times where I would really procrastinate on assignments. I even left high school early and stuff, having challenges. And then all through my 20s, I had, you know, a bit of challenges with, you know, relationships and dating and, you know, being kind of scatterbrained and other stuff. And then at some point, I guess it kind of dawned on me about, especially with Love on the Spectrum, because they kind of describe a little bit more of what autism is. Mm. And that's when it's like you look in the mirror and you're like, oh, I'm autistic. Oh, that's why, you know? So anyways, yeah, when they asked me if I want to go on a date with Danny, you know, I was open to it. Because on the show, they kind of show her, she goes on a date, she starts talking about animation, and then it goes over the person's head that she's dating. And so I agreed to go on the show. And I agreed to go on the show, and I, you know, I was just kind of discovering myself. And once you agree on the show, there's even a process afterwards of like, you have to talk to producers and, you know, they set it up months in advance and everything. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there was a little bit of concern and wondering about, you know, did I make the right decision or should I bail out, you know? I just want to give a little bit of that. I mean, I know I talk a lot, but it's kind of, I want to paint the whole picture as best as I can so that it makes sense, you know, like you could see it from my perspective, you know, I wasn't trying to do anything that would break her heart or be manipulative.
So we don't want to give away too much of what's going to happen because I don't know if everybody's watched it.
That's what I was going to say. You could tell like what season, what episode.
Yeah, so it's season 2, right? And then I think
3 and 4.
Episodes 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Right. So if you haven't checked it out, it's Love on the Spectrum, season 2, episodes 3 and 4. Yeah, Jake is in there.
Right.
And we don't want to say too much of what happened because we want to leave it as a suspense. Yeah. We don't want to be, no spoiler alerts here, but. Yeah, so it's cool to see, like, you and other things that you're doing. And so, like, wow, we have a celebrity at our church. It's pretty cool. So Jake, another thing too, this morning you had sent me a text message with a meme on it, and I thought it was really cool, and I wanted to see like what resonated with it. So in the text message, it was a picture of a Bible, and on the caption of it, it says, "We drown in entertainment to avoid the silence where God speaks, then complain that God is silent."
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty cool. So Jake, you want to share about like what resonated with that? And
yeah. So I think for a long time, I've kind of been struggling a little bit with my focus. And, you know, so some of the things that I might have been, okay, so, you know, we didn't think I was autistic when I was young, but we considered maybe I had some type of learning disability, like ADD, attention deficit disorder. And so I would have a hard time, you know, maybe. So ADHD, I think, is a little bit more of an outward kind of like, oh, look at this, look at that. Mm-hmm. You're kind of running around really energized. But then ADD is maybe more of like an internal, like rudimenting, you know, type of thing. So anyways, yeah, that meme that talks about how we're drowned in entertainment and it affects basically our ability to hear God because we don't want to, you know, where silence is uncomfortable. I feel like it really resonates with me. And even more recently, like these next few weeks, maybe the algorithms and all the social media has just grown more and more to a peak where it's like more important than ever to, you know, like disconnect from it or connect with God at this. And some people are even saying this is like the new God that everybody's kind of worshiping, you know, putting their attention towards. And so, yeah, I think it's really important. What people don't realize how important it is, your attention and the way you feel in your body. And that's why I like this Awe of God, you know, book that we're reading. It's definitely talks a lot more about, you know, I guess your attention and how you feel in the moment. And I think more people, it would be beneficial to either fast from, you know, the Instagram and stuff like that, or have a very solid routine that maybe first thing when you wake up in the morning to be able to do something where maybe you pray to God or you go for a walk or you kind of sit in silence. Because even before I started considering myself Christian or being open to that, earlier on I kind of got into a bit of like the law of attraction where a lot of it is about just allowing, just kind of opening up and receiving, you know, inspiration or noticing signs and stuff like that. And so, yeah, when we're constantly consuming, you know, all this information, you know, it makes the mind very busy and then we're not able to notice or receive inspired stuff. We're being programmed, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of noise, right? There's a lot of noise going on in the world, and we have ability to shut some of it off or even block some of it out, but that comes with either a different mindset or even some sacrifices based on the worldly system.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting when you were talking about silence. And so we're starting the emotionally healthy class that Mimo's teaching this week. And part of that, we still have some space left. If people want to join, let us know. But there's a devotional book that goes with it. And it's meant to be for twice a day. So it's either like morning, afternoon, or afternoon, evening. But the devotional starts with 2 minutes of silence where you just have to just be quiet for 2 minutes. And man, the first time I remember doing that, 2 minutes felt like 10 minutes. I'm like into it. And I'm looking at I'm like, okay, it's gotta be 2 minutes. I look at my watch. I'm like 45 seconds. Like what? And then it's, yeah, but it's so foreign to us to even do a minute of silence, let alone 2 minutes. It's like, wow. Like how distracted are we? How busy, how noisy is our environment when that's so hard?
That's true.
One time on the podcast, we had like a 1 second break where there was no sound, nothing, because we didn't know what to say, and someone actually said, is the podcast broken? Because you know, 1 second of silence is, it's hard for us to comprehend, especially on a podcast where you're used to hearing people
not normal,
continuously talking, right? And so it's cool to see how you're connecting the two, the creating space for the Lord's voice to speak and to be able to hear him. But then also the other side where, you know, you connected it with, well, when we don't do that, should we even be complaining that we're not hearing God's voice if we're not even giving him opportunities to speak?
Right. Yeah. And there was one saying, you know, I've listened to different types of books that, you know, are maybe kind of like philosophy or something. You know, Eckhart Tolle has a book called The Power of Now. Mm-hmm. And I think it might have been that book, but there was some type of message saying there's an intelligence beyond thought. Mm. You know, so in the case of the Bible and stuff, you know, God, you know, is this source of, you know, he knows everything, mm-hmm. and we can receive. So we don't necessarily have to go and always find the information ourselves. Mm-hmm. That we can ask God, and he can drop the answer right mm-hmm. into our head. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's a really good thing to kind of think about. If we feel disconnected, we feel a little bit like we're lost, or, you know, we're only, the information that we have is only within the head, our head that we have. So I like that idea and seeing how that kind of connects that, yeah, it's okay to be silent. You can receive guidance. You're not lost, you know, and we should probably try to do that more.
Yeah. I think it's interesting how you're connecting even like that, like the Eckhart Tolle concept of like,
The power of now, the
power of now, and the intelligence that's outside. But then the way that you're receiving that is actually that's what he's talking about. That's actually God talking to me. Mm-hmm. So I think it's cool that you're making that connection.
Yeah,
and we were talking a little bit before because Damon showed me that meme that you sent this morning, and then I was like, oh, that's kind of funny because I think there's actually aspects where sometimes we don't want to hear God's voice, so we actually bring the noise, the stuff. We might still complain, but really it's because, well, we know either we might not be aligned with what God wants us to do, or we're ignoring, or we're not being obedient to, like, hey, I'm asking you to go do this or change this. Mm-hmm. And you're like, kind of almost like fingers in the ears, right? And so then by bringing more noise, by bringing the noise of social media, of distractions, it's like, well, I don't know if I want to hear what God has to say right now.
Yeah, there's actually a really funny meme I saw on Instagram of a guy who, he's a funny, like, you know, comedian or something. And he looks up into the sun asking God, you know, like, hey, you know, my life is really messed up here. You know, give me guidance. What do I need, God? And he says, stop drinking. And he's like, oh, are you sure about that? You know, like, and he's changing. He's like, no, stop drinking.
trying to argue with him.
Exactly. And then he goes on. He's like, oh, I know. I must be crazy. You know? And then he just kind of like blows it off and goes back to doing what he was doing, you know. So, and I think that's part of what's maybe led me a little bit more to Christianity, you know, too, or, you know, at this point, I just made a decision. I've asked a few people, do you need to have a profound spiritual experience in order to, you know, just accept God? And they said no. And I guess at this point, it's more of me just making a decision that I'm just going to start coming to church and I'm going to, you know, do the different things and stuff and just, you know, that's, you know, my viewpoint, right now, with how I'm kind of, going through this, whole experience. And I think what's led me a little bit to, accepting Christianity is noticing things that it's like, it's good to have some healthy boundaries, like the drinking kind of thing, mm-hmm. or any other thing that people are kind of like, oh yeah, it's not, you know, dangerous or anything like that. You know, you can enjoy, adult content, or mm-hmm. you can drink, or you could smoke weed or all this stuff. It's not hurting anybody. But then, you know, there's times where you could kind of see how it affects, you know, mm-hmm. your ability to connect to God. And so that's where I'm seeing in Christianity that, you know, instead of being completely just following, you know, that hedonistic kind of mm-hmm. lifestyle of just everything that feels good, that it can feel layered. Like you were doing something that felt good, but then you notice how it was negatively affecting your life. And it's like, oh, okay, so maybe that's the reason mm-hmm. why it was said in the Bible, mm-hmm. you know? And I know Kyle has said something recently. You gave, is it called a sermon?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Where you were talking a bit about, what was it? Yeah, being a slave to your what are they? Yeah, a slave to, you know,
like desire.
Yeah, there's freedom.
Yeah,
in when you follow those teachings, that you become free. Some people assume that, oh, if I don't do these, you know, certain sins or whatever, that that in a way you are kind of, you know, you're not allowing yourself to be free. But when you are addicted to those negative kind of desires, you are a slave to that, and you're more free if you're able to say no, right?
Well, yeah, it's interesting.
Make a decision.
Yeah, because you can look at the Bible as a bunch of do's and don'ts, and it's very restrictive, and it's like that's not fun or whatever. But when you actually start embracing them and you realize that they're actually for your benefit, then instead of being like a slave to the do's and don'ts, it's like, oh no, I'm actually set free because I'm not getting the negative ramifications of the things that are actually bad for me that the world says are good. And there's pleasure in them. I'm not going to like lie about that, but it's usually, it comes with a negative or a consequence, or, you know, relationally, physically, emotionally, different things.
Yeah.
But it's hard. It can be hard to get past that because it doesn't, in some ways it doesn't make sense. Like, no, but you're telling me I can't do all this fun stuff, but then it's actually good and it's freeing.
Right.
And until you actually start operating in it, it's like, oh, now I'm kind of getting it.
Yeah. And that's what I see too. I was imagining for a person that follows, you know, the Christian kind of way of life, that there can be a very enjoyable, fulfilling experience. Because just imagining, like, okay, maybe you're living with the family on the farm, and, you know, every morning, you know, you get up, you know, and are thankful, and you say grace before, you know, and you go for family walks, and you play basketball together, you do some art, you do some music, you know, you eat good food. Like, I don't know, I think there's definitely a vision of, you know, living a life that can be very, you know, enjoyable, and it doesn't feel like you would miss any of those other negative things.
The more worldly things.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, as you're talking, it just reminds me of the illustration that Pastor Sam gave this week. And I think we've seen variations of that illustration before is, you know, there's the legalism side, which some people think the Bible is just all about rules and you have to follow these rules. But really, that's a guardrail so that people don't go off the edge.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, right, is the lawlessness, right? And so there's like all of the different, the guardrails that keep us in the river of God, right? Which is fear
the
of God and love
boundaries.
Of God. The healthy boundaries, right? And so that way we're in line with what God has for us. And really, both sides are for our benefit. And a lot of times, you know, and especially for us as a church, we've spent a lot of time focusing on the love of God, right? And experiencing God's love. But, you know, there's also the time where we need to recognize, like, we also need to have the fear of God, because that keeps us in the place that he made for us.
Right. Yeah, that was the last Sunday service at Catalyst. Who was the speaker?
So that was Pastor Sam. So he was with our church from the very beginning.
Okay, and what's his last name?
Lee.
Sam did Lee. He do one of the books?
Yes.
The Be Free?
Yes.
Is that it? Okay, So someone told me about it, one of the Bible studies and stuff. So it's cool to actually see him. But I know you in your sermon, you gave something similar with the lawlessness and the guardrails.
Yeah, like the road. So it's a road. His was a river and two banks. So kind of like the...
Yeah. But that was really good to see about that. And that connected to me in a way from my life experience, talking a bit about that verse, the shadow of death, and then the comfort, and then the rod, and the
staff.
And that was something that clicked in my head, because you're imagining a bit of, like, you know, God with the staff is guiding the sheep, and then the rod sometimes to do a correction, and so what my viewpoint when I started off a bit with, like, the law of attraction when I was 19, and that's when I started to feel a little bit more of there being like a presence,
you were sharing with us before we started recording that you were maybe more agnostic or atheist. Yeah. And then at some point then you shifted to like, well, there's something there, right? That's kind of the time frame that you're in right now?
Yeah. So I'm 34 now, but when I was 19 was when my mom really got into like the law of attraction mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And I listened to it, and there was just a lot of stuff that was resonating with me, and it just felt light and felt there was just stuff, and it opened me up to the idea of like, oh yeah, there is a God, you know, I mm-hmm. feel like there is a God. So where was I going?
I know, sorry, I kind of cut you off. No, it's okay. I want to give a little background.
Because you were talking about the rod and the staff.
Yeah. So a lot of the stuff I was learning from Law of Attraction, because I noticed there's a lot of gurus out there mm-hmm. that sometimes they'll give like some stuff that's beneficial, but then they also give you other stuff that's like, oh, this is not a good, you know, teaching to hold on to. And what I liked about what I learned was there was a lot of, you know, like basically connecting more to God, mm-hmm. to clarity, removing, you know, the distractions and allowing God to guide you, you know. And later on, I learned about the wisdom of God in the Bible, like what they say, when you connect to the wisdom of God, you're like more powerful and stuff. And so I saw that, you know, a lot of people will take some type of teaching and they'll twist it around for their benefit mm-hmm. or be unaware because they don't know the full understanding mm-hmm. of what that means. So they'll go, oh, okay, so all I need to do is, you know, just be happy and I make money, right? You know? And so they go like every decision that they make in life, you know, it's kind of like, does this feel good? Okay, you know, who cares if this person, you know, I end up kind of betraying this person because I'm still happy, right? You know, that's their problem. They are not, you know. And I think in that original belief that I looked into, it didn't have maybe that, you know, type of thing. But I noticed a lot of other people around. And in a way, looking at Christianity and all that stuff, I almost feel like it's giving more context, you know, because when you're connected to God, you can trust God's guidance and not feel like he's going to lead you to do something evil, you know. But it's hard sometimes to know, am I connected to God or am I being influenced by something else? Like I'm feeling some jealousy, so it'd feel really good right now if I, you know, sabotage this person's. That's not guidance from God, you know? So it was kind of nice as I've been looking more into Christianity and seeing that whole, the fear and the love of God. I know that when you feel the love of God, when you maybe do like your daily routine of like, meditation or reading the Bible, something in the morning gets you in a very clear place where you feel guided, that's like you're connecting to the love of God. But when we are feeling really stressed or depressed and there's a lot of momentum there, that's when we maybe feel inspired to do things that are either evil or destructive. And what I heard about this fear of God and the description that Sam gave, it gave me the thought of like, okay, so when you're connected to God, you know, you can follow that guidance. But even on your worst days, when you're tempted to do something evil, you have some of these rules that will help you keep you in check and not do anything you regret. So that's what I kind of liked a little bit about that, is that you have the love of God and, you know, do the best we can to get into that state, but we'll of course go through some bad times, and at the very least we have some rules to follow just to remind ourselves not to do anything.
I think they're rules, they're principles, but then it's also like the Holy Spirit like actually dwells in us when we invite Jesus into our life, and so then he can, you know, so some other religions or thoughts can be like, oh, that's just your conscience or whatever. But really it's that the Holy Spirit is then convicting us or reminding us or, you know, making us aware of like, oh, this is the way I want you to go. But then it's not like a forced thing. It's still free will, but it's like then that's that kind of that boundary then of like, which has, it's like along the lines of rules, because some of them are rules based, but some of it's just more of like morality based too, like conviction that way.
Yeah. You know, so,
That's cool. I like the connections you're making. It's good.
Yeah. You know, like adultery or something like that, where you think of people who are in a relationship and, you know, they might think that, well, you know, if I do this and don't feel, actually, that's kind of funny. I feel like I've met some people that are kind of in the mindset that it's like, you know, if you just don't feel regret or don't feel bad about it, then it's okay kind of thing.
Interesting, yeah.
So that's something, because I kind of, I don't know, maybe growing up, I kind of resonate a little bit with feeling like you're the good guy in your life story or the hero. And it's like some people want to be a hero because they like all the recognition and all the good stuff that comes with that. And other people are inspired by a good person and be like, I want to be that. I want to be Superman or I want to be Batman. Like you want to embody that to, you know, there's something about that versus just being treated like, you know. So, so yeah, that's something that I find interesting.
Yeah, I think as you were talking about that and like wanting to be the hero and things like that, I think that's where in one of the weeks in Awe of God where he's talking about your true self is revealed. I think that's part of what happens when we understand the balance between the love of God and the fear of God, is that we feel comfortable just being who we are as opposed to who we're trying to project ourselves to be. Yeah. Or I feel like I should be Batman, but it's like, well, what if you're not Batman?
Right.
If you're not Batman, then you're just projecting yourself as someone that you're not.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think as we go through this series, that's one of the outcomes of it, is hopefully people are feeling more comfortable in, no, I'm just Damon, or I'm just Jake, and I'm just Kyle. And I just need to live out who I am and not necessarily try to be who everybody else thinks I am or who I want to be, but I'm just free to be me.
Yeah. There seems like there's so many layers when it comes to it, right? Mm-hmm. Like I think in the Fear of God, they were talking about the story of the couple, right? That were, what's the word? Were they smited or,
you know? Yeah. Well, they were killed.
They're killed. But it's just like, you know, there's a lot of times where you're thinking a certain way, and then before you know it, it's like you're back in your old ways, you know, again. And so I think that that's really interesting, you know, to just, you know, be aware of that, you know, just to continue to, I guess, to just grow and be a better person.
Well, that story, so that's Ananias and Sapphira. And so this is the early church after Jesus had died and resurrected and ascended back into heaven. So this is like, I would say within that first year, and they're selling their possessions. They're bringing it to the apostles so they can take care of the needy and all that. And then they sell a property. And then what it is, they lied, right? They said, oh, we're bringing the full amount, but then they held some back because they wanted to keep some of it. So the interesting part of that story, it's like God's presence was so strong and so powerful in, I believe it's Peter, right? Yeah. That because they basically lied that blatantly right in front of the Lord in his presence. Like that's how much, like how holy he is. And then like that caused him to die right on the spot. And it was like, whoa, like that is intense. And you know, that's not like it happens all the time in the Bible, but it's like, that's the amount of respect and awe we need to have. But then sometimes when we get so comfortable that we're willing to go to that kind of place, it's like, oh no, that's not a place you want to like just wander into casually. Like there's significance when you discount the awe of God.
Yeah. And that's probably the thing I like the most about this, you know, kind of phase of reading this book and stuff, because I have been thinking a lot about how important it is about, I guess, how you feel like on the inside. And with the whole fear of God, you know, what's the name of the author of that book?
John Bevere.
That they're talking, like there's the story about him preaching in Brazil.
Oh yeah.
And there's a lot of the rock concerts and all this stuff. And then whenever the show was over and the person would come up and start talking, everybody be, you know, speaking amongst themselves, looking at their phones. And I guess it just brings more awareness about, oh yeah, we need to give more of our full attention, you know, the way we feel on the inside and where we, so just to say that you're Christian and you go to church and you do all these actions and stuff, it's like, but you know, your attention and what you're doing on the inside. Are you aligned with the mm-hmm. frequency of God?
Right. The reverence.
You know, the reverence. Yeah. Because there are times, and that's part of what I've grown to believe from what I, in the law of attraction type of thing, is that, you know, if we are in sync with, mm-hmm. you know, God's energy, then we feel vital and inspired and stuff. And oftentimes when we're in that negative, it's like we're disconnected a bit. We're pinching ourselves off from that, you know, just from that energy and stuff like that. And
so it sounds like you're saying that it's sometimes we feel like God is far away, but really it's not God being far away. It's us that's far away.
Yeah. Just being disconnected, I think, from that. And so, yeah, this whole thing with the awe of God and everything, I think, is really interesting, because some of my experience with some Christian people that I've met in the past, and I like Catalyst because I do feel a good atmosphere of people that are overall pretty cheerful, you know. But I have met some Christians that are pretty intense, a little bit, you know, maybe grumpy or kind of sad, just a little bit, just like, you know, underneath and everything. And I guess that's, you know, I'm not going to blame or make anybody feel bad for that, because, you know, we, you know, everybody has good and bad, you know, but I think it's good in this book, in a way, it does bring more attention to, you know, we have to find a way to come back to be more amazed, you know, because so there's certain activities that we might do, like, oh yeah, we're gonna go to the Grand Canyon, you're so excited, or go to Disneyland for the first time, you're excited, and it lifts your spirits. And then when you go over and over again, you start getting more like, oh, I've done that before, and now it's not exciting. So I think that's maybe how some people might feel a little bit about, you know, the experience with God, is that, you know, we should find more ways to connect to God daily, you know. Just so that you know, and so now the question is how do you do that? Maybe it is just turning off all your stuff, or spending time in silence for a moment, you know, something to get you into more of that kind of more comfortable place, instead of worrying about all.
Yeah, there's definitely practical things, just good habits. I mean, that's just a thing that's good in life in general, but building good habits and structure and things like that. But like when you're just describing that, it just highlights to me, like, if those two guardrails, even before you hit the guardrail on either side, if you're drifting too far that way, excuse me, you're lacking balance. And so I see that too, and I've seen it in my life, where like the love of God, it feels good, and it's so inviting and warm. And it's like, I just want to stay here. But then as you start drifting more and more to that, it's like, yeah, that awe, the reverence, that wonder of the Grand Canyon again. Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm kind of forgetting about that. And right. I need to bring and maybe intentionally incorporate some aspects of that to balance with the love. And so then I stay more towards the middle. And you know, it's okay to drift a little bit, but when you start getting too far to one side, you miss that other side.
Right.
And the other side, too, like if you drift too far to, man, God, and this fear and this like whole, and it's like then they're grumpy or they're like so stressed about not
unhealthy,
fear. Unhealthy fear. So then it's like it's been good, because it's making me like having to wrestle with what kind of balance do I have, and even reflecting like, oh, I've seen when I've gotten out of balance, and that's not good either. But how do I help even myself or other people? Like, hey, it looks like maybe we need to like balance each other.
Yeah, so, you know, like saying grace before eating food, or maybe waking up and just thanking God for the fact that I woke up today, for the house over my head, you know, maybe just getting into, you know, get some momentum going, or just to remember that stuff. Because I am a strong believer of kind of momentum with emotion. So, you know, if you're feeling really depressed, it's because the momentum has built over time, and it is very challenging to go from super depressed to all of a sudden super happy, unless you're like bipolar or something.
Right.
And so that's something that's kind of good to think about, is momentum. And maybe when it is strong, you go, okay, I got into that feeling not noticing the little things that were bugging me or the things I was paying attention to and absorbing. Yeah. And so maybe, you know, that's where when you wake up in the morning, you're a little bit more relaxed and, you know, that you decide that I'm going to start my day off with remembering things that I feel good about or reading, you know, something, you know, reading the Bible or just but yeah, I mean, it's good to have good and bad in your life because that, that contrast helps you grow. Like you go to the gym and you do, and then you come back a little bit stronger, this kind of push and pull.
Yeah, but it kind of hurts too, right?
Yeah, it does.
You get your sore muscles and stuff.
So, you know, we shouldn't be hard on ourselves for going, you know, they say that, you know, we're supposed to be flawed, right? You know, So I think that's all interesting. And I just love the fact that, you know, at this point in time, going over the awe of God is really putting a spotlight on how important it is about how you feel and your focus and attention, right?
Yeah, I think one of the things that is getting highlighted to me is just a self-awareness of where you are in that spectrum of momentum, right? And so it's like, which direction is your momentum carrying you, right? And is your momentum carrying you down a path of lawlessness? Is your momentum carrying you down a path of legalism? Is your, or is your momentum, you're trying to navigate and trying to stay in the middle so that you can be where the Lord wants you, right? And so I think it's really good for us to be aware of where we are and aware of what the direction is. Because like you said, Jake, sometimes it's just these little things that add up over time. And then you realize, oh, I didn't realize I was all the way in this gutter because all I didn't notice all these little things that added up to where I'm at right now.
Yeah. And actually one thing I want to mention real quick is that, so yeah, some of the sins or something like that where they tell you not to do. And then a lot of times people would just assume that like, you know, okay, so looking at adult content is like, that's not hurting anybody, right? And then later on you see science that actually validates the reason why it's not good for you. Like it affects your hormones. It affects just different things. Like it's a slippery slope. And so it's interesting to see some of these things coming out now that's actually validating, oh, that's the reason. So it makes people look like, you know how they say someone was ahead of their time?
That's
really what it was with, you know, Jesus and teachings in the Bible where they were telling you stuff that maybe didn't make sense. But then later on, it's like, oh, okay, I get it now. And now with science and everything bringing it all together, it you know, there's even one thing. Andrew Huberman is a neuroscientist who's popular on YouTube. And he talks a little bit about different things you can do to help you get focused and disciplined. And he has one video on discipline. And he says there's actually a part of your brain called the AMCC, which is a part of your brain that when you do something you don't want to do, it actually activates and can become stronger. And so for some people, like maybe who are morbidly obese, you know, that area can be very weak and small because you're in that mode of, you know, not really being able to tell yourself no. And so that was something interesting too, to hear a bit about. So, you know, by being able to have some self-control and kind of do something that you don't really want to do, like get up out of bed or do something, that you are developing that part of your brain. And so that's an interesting thing too, that I almost feel like validates a bit of what is said in the Bible about, you know, it is important to kind of, you know, take control and, you know, tell yourself. And so, yeah. You know.
And I think that's one of the important things, especially if like, you're newer on this journey too, to understanding God and Jesus, that you need the grounding of what's in the Bible. Because like even that, it's science and it's this great thing, but then you're able to connect it with like, oh yeah, it matches with what's said in the Bible.
Yeah.
And there's other religions, other beliefs too, that take a lot of what is similar to the Bible, but then they'll distort it a little bit and twist it, and then it leads to a different destination. But I think that for all of us, like we all need to be more grounded in the Word, because that's the one of the things the Holy Spirit uses to remind us, like, hey, remember, he gets our attention in our conscience, but it's like because it's remembering, like, okay, remember that truth in the Bible. Remember where I'm actually directing you to go. And if we don't have that framework, then it's just kind of more like, well, I don't know why, but that's just there. So
right. Yeah, it's good to understand mm-hmm. it, right? I think that's a big reason why they talk about meditate on the word, right?
Yeah, right.
You know, to just take it and start thinking about it and asking, you know, questions. And I was a part of a Bible study with Ross and Ida at the Freedom Center recently, mm-hmm. A few weeks. Maybe it was the first night that I went. But I liked what Ross said. There was some type of story about, like, just being really honest with God, mm-hmm. even if it's just talking to God in a way of, like, I'm frustrated, you know, mm-hmm. and being open and, you know, and God being okay with just hearing you out. Because mm-hmm. sometimes people will hold back how yeah. they actually feel because, you know, but that's kind of an interesting, you know, thought process too, of just being just completely bare. And even if you say, I'm frustrated with you, God, you know, or something. And you know, you're just like maybe your teenager or something.
They're being honest.
Talking
right?
to you. And yeah. then God could kind of explain himself. It's like, oh, okay, I understand now, you know, because there's a bunch of times where a parent will try to teach something and then the kid doesn't get it, right. understand it till they're more mature, you know.
Yeah, and something you said earlier that I think is pretty awesome is you said the Bible is ahead of its time.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people nowadays will think, oh, the Bible's, that's antiquated, that's old. Like, you know, we need to progress from past all that stuff. But it's I think it's pretty awesome, your perspective, and in recognizing, well, actually, the Bible was way ahead of its time because the things that we're learning now that we didn't have the science for, we didn't have the ways to understand some of these things, they're actually validating what was said thousands of years ago that was found in the Bible. And, you know, it was ahead of its time. So I think that's an awesome perspective that you have.
Yeah. And what I thought was kind of interesting, you know, everybody is so obsessed with science and all these other things. But something that keeps coming back to me is that, okay, literally for thousands and thousands of years, people were more in the mindset of, like, God and all this stuff. And it's really almost like the last 100 years that people, all of a sudden, they're like tiny, tiny little speck or ants, and they think they understand the entire universe. Like, oh, we've got it all figured out, right? And then, you know, it's like there's stuff coming out where it's like, oh, actually, we were wrong about this. Yeah. Or even an equation like E equals MC squared type of thing where I'm not saying it's correct or not, but sometimes even in an equation, if just one little thing is slightly off, then it can completely derail everything that we believe. And so I think it is kind of interesting where so many people have faith in everything that's kind of been broadcast to us, and maybe there is some type of big wisdom. Well, it makes sense. For thousands of years, people were on to something, and now we're at a point where we kind of, you know, have a big chip on our shoulder, and that's where I feel like it's okay to maybe at least, okay, maybe you believe in science, but to be open to the fact that you could be wrong, right? You know?
Yeah, that's good.
I like how you frame it as people have faith in science.
Yeah.
Right? Because it does take a level of faith to follow that belief system, right? And so it's not just, I don't have faith at all, right? It's like, it's more, what are you putting your faith in? And as Christians, as believers, we're deciding to put our faith, kind of like you said, it's a choice. I'm going to choose to put my faith in God. And, and that's where we're at.
Yeah. And yeah, there's just so many different things in there that, you know, people just accept as fact and probably don't even do that much research. And there's certain things that you'll discover in there that, oh yeah, it's not really a fact. It's more of a theory, you know, that things happen this way. Cause, I don't know, do you guys watch a lot of those YouTube channels about, like, there's one guy who seems a bit more scientific where he goes into, he's Christian, but he goes in and kind of challenges a lot of the scientific things.
I'm not sure which one you're talking about.
Yeah. So he's like a white, he has white hair and stuff, but it was kind of interesting where he goes on to evolution and talking about exactly where it started and all this stuff. And then talking about, cause they might say 80% of scientists believe this, but there is like a 10% that believes something different. And it is possible that another side of it, their side could be valid.
Right.
But we just assume because of these people or whatever, the majority, or, you know, because of what school they went to. It's, and, you know, media, TV and stuff affects us. Like, my brother, he had an infection in his leg when he was a boy and was in the hospital for a few months and stuff. And I think when he was in there, he had a realization that doctors don't really know as much as they seem like they do in TV shows, like House, where they have this special contraption. They know exactly what is. He experienced a lot of times doctors would come in with their nurses with a clipboard and be like, so do you think it's a flesh-eating virus? Like, maybe we should amputate, you know, his leg. And he's like, no, no, you know. And so,
Well, House always got it wrong three times before he got it right.
So yeah, that's, I think, just interesting to think about, is that, you know, a lot of people put faith in to just, you know, realize that there could be a different point of view. And so yeah, that's been my viewpoint. I felt like I've never really wanted to be super narrow-minded and kind of assume that I know everything. And that's probably a big issue with the whole extremism of today, is a lot of people, you know, think that they're right and they're not willing to see anything else. They have their blinders on. So I'm open to possibly being wrong, you know, and the other person, you know. So yeah, that's an interesting
thing. Yeah, no, it's when you were sharing, it just reminds me, or it highlights to me, that we all could use a little bit more of humility, right? Because we think we know. And we know in part, but then there's so much we don't know too.
Right.
And so it's,
yeah.
It's a good reminder.
Yeah.
And I think when we come with that posture of humility, then our awe of God grows.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Because then we recognize, like, I don't know everything, but God does. Right. And so then our understanding of how little we know, it actually expands our viewpoint of, wow, if God knows everything and I know just this little bit, he must be so big, or he must be so powerful. And it just, our awe of God continues to grow. Mm-hmm.
You know, I just had a thought about, you know, you were talking about how you started this podcast kind of during the pandemic, was it? So that was one experience that I noticed kind of the value of believing in God, you know, at that time. Because I think a lot of people felt more vulnerable and all this stuff, and just, you know, didn't have any of that kind of spiritual support. So maybe both you guys, if you want to share, like, during the pandemic, you know, how did God help you through that time?
Wow.
And did you notice anybody else that maybe didn't have that support, and how, you know, how did they handle that situation?
I mean, I think in general, at times of crisis, people turn to faith, right? Because then they're, a lot of times it's whatever they had faith in is shaken, and they're unsure. So like 9/11, I remember that was a big time too, where people were like, they turned to God, or maybe they had that in their upbringing. And so it is, it's kind of like a shaking of, okay, what do you really hold on to? And is that strong enough to support you during times of turmoil?
Yeah.
I think for me and my family, it was, our faith was super important and super strong. So my kids were, I want to say, like, second and fifth grade or something, right around there. And so, yeah, being able to talk about difficult subjects and even death, because my wife worked in a hospital, so we saw a different side of it too, and she would bring some of that home. And how much do we share with our kids? How much do we not? But then even just them understanding that life is fragile, and we don't know the future, but we still have God to hold on to. It doesn't make it better in the sense like it's all gone, but it's better in the sense of, okay, well, I don't have to know it all, or be able to understand it all, but I have a peace inside.
I think for me, it was kind of like what we were talking about earlier in terms of momentum, is that, you know, during the pandemic, we had a lot more time.
Yeah.
And so there were a lot of choices of, okay, how am I going to choose to use my time? And so I think for me, in making some of those little choices to either oh, I have more time. I'm going to go out for a run. And then, because I don't take my phone, I don't take anything else. It's just time to spend with God. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, then I was able to, kind of like we were talking about before, open up myself more to hearing from him and right. receiving the peace or receiving the comfort or receiving the direction or the guidance that would have been more difficult if I didn't have that.
Right.
So if I had chosen to move in a different direction or have my momentum go, oh, I'm just going to fill my time with more TV or more entertainment or more this or more that. Because I made certain choices, I feel like it made the process or during that season a little bit easier than it would have been if I hadn't made some of those choices. And so
yeah.
I do feel like that was a season where there were definitely a lot more choices to make, because it wasn't like, oh, I have all these different responsibilities that are going on that I need to fulfill. It's like, okay, I have a lot more time. So what am I going to do with that time?
Yeah. And so maybe that would be good, because now that does remind me of silence, right? Because when there was a shutdown, everything, you know, less cars on the road and everything, it was a moment of kind of silence. And I guess some people were able to benefit from it while others maybe imploded, you know, a bit.
Yeah.
And I know my brother, for example, you know, he had some tough times, but then when the pandemic happened, you know, he seemed to rebound in a positive way. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it gave him some perspective, but he definitely got better. And for me, I had a constant kind of worry about time and stuff like that. I think I was about 29 at the time, you know, and I started going out to karaoke recently wanting to, you know, socialize and meet people. And then the pandemic happened, you know, and then I was stuck at home. But I know sometimes it was hard for me to sit and kind of be creative or work on stuff because I'm worried about missing out on life or whatever. And so when the pandemic happened, it was kind of nice to be like, okay, so now it's okay to be home and work on stuff. And that's probably around the time where I discovered that I had either autism or some type of learning disability, because I always felt like I was kind of lazy or kind of procrastinated on stuff and be like, oh, okay, well, if I just, you know, buckle down, I'm sure I could do it. And then during the pandemic, I woke up every day and I like actually sat at my desk and like tried to like complete either a project I have with music or animation. And I sat down and could not do it. And I was like, what is going on? And then I was like, and then I looked into what is ADHD or ADD. And they said something about dopamine in the brain. Where dopamine is what gives you that sense of reward when you take on a challenge. And for people with ADD and ADHD, it's like you're lacking that. So you're lacking the motivation to do something challenging. And so I had that kind of feeling when I couldn't do it. It's almost like if creativity was like making juice, it's like I was trying to squeeze a dried fruit and nothing was there. And there's times where you feel irritated or even kind of nauseous, you know, like you could not do it. And some people say the ADHD or the ADD is like some type of stress response kind of thing. And maybe having more silence is exactly what they kind of need in order to, you're not devoting a lot of your mental energy to these distractions. It's like if you had a currency for how many, you know, points I have available, you have to be very careful with what you decide to give your attention to. So yeah, I think that was a bit of an eye opening, and that's what made me kind of realize that, you know, I have something. And then when my mom and brother started watching Love on the Spectrum and stuff, my brother would always kind of joke at me. We'd watch the show and be like, looking at me, it's like, that sounds like you, Jake, and stuff. Like, so what? So, you know, they have a person who has an ocarina collection, you know, an ocarina is a little flute that was in The Legend of Zelda.
Okay.
And so I have six of them, you know, and they would look at me. And then over time, especially after my engagement with, you know, my fiance in Spain didn't fell through. And then I met Danny, and I even started talking to her and experiencing more people in the autistic community, I had a better idea of like, oh, okay, this is what autism is. And right now, my current understanding of autism is that it's like a neurodivergent is mm-hmm. one of the things they refer to it, where the brain is just wired kind of differently. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, you know, there's a cocktail of multiple neuro differences. Mm-hmm. So a person with autism could have a little bit of OCD, a little bit of ADHD, a little bit of, you know, depression, social anxiety. It's just, it's a mixture. Mm-hmm. And each person has a variety of different levels of those things. And that's kind of what I understand as the autism spectrum. That's what I kind of learned from Danny and from Sandy and doing some videos, learning more about it. And there's different levels. Like level one is more like Asperger's, where, you know, maybe somebody who's more higher level, more mature usually, and can hide or mask their differences. But then level two is needing more. So they go by levels of how much assistance they need in life. So level two, they need more assistance from maybe parents. Level three could be more nonverbal, and they need complete assistance. But each person's a little different.
Wow, I've learned so much about autism and everything today on this episode that I didn't know before. Yeah. So thanks for the tutorials, Jake. Yeah.
So as I said, I learn more about it. And then also I teach students in Danny's business in animation. I've learned a little bit from my own interactions, you know, as well. Because I think there's a lot of people on the autism spectrum that do like try to reflect and try to figure out what, even when they, you know, are level two or, you know, yeah, it is something everybody's trying to figure out and understand more.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a really fun conversation, and we're actually getting kind of long on time. So as we're wrapping up.
I want to have him back, though.
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to say. We need to have Jake come back on again. But before we do sign off, Jake, do you have any last comments or anything that you'd like to say before we sign off?
Well, I think that it's really good for people to have some type of spiritual support and to feel a bit, you know, like there's something beyond just their small body. Mm-hmm. And this whole thing with like the awe of God and the love of God, I feel like over time I've become more and more open to it and feel better about it. Because I even remember at one time when I first accepted the idea of there being a higher power with the law of attraction and stuff, I still felt a bit of resistance towards some people talking about God or Jesus, because I would always remember some of these interactions I have with tense people. And then over time, I felt like my heart started opening up more and more to it, being like, you know, oh yeah, Jesus, he sounds like he's a loving, just great, you know, guy. I feel a good feeling toward that, or feeling of Christians, like I meet other people and like, oh yeah, I could see, you know, that's nice the way that, you know. And so anyways, I think that it is important to, you know, connect to a higher power. And I like what Catalyst says, Barry, the first service that he had. Do you remember what the date was for the very first service?
January
3rd? I think 3rd, yeah.
I think 3rd.
Yeah, so the message was about being like a shining light on a hill, being a good influence on the community. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's really cool. If more people are able to kind of connect to God's wisdom and walk around, and they could just be a positive influence, you know, because, you know, when you're really stable in that foundation, you could walk around and a person's not feeling good, you can, you know, you could just, I think, wasn't there something recently about Paul was, or Peter, right? Kind of walking through like hospital and like, you know, healing everybody, you know, kind
walking
of
through the streets, and then his shadow even touching people, they would be healed. Cause that
was, that was right before the Ananias and Sapphira story.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that that's really cool, that, that idea of, you know, tapping into, that, and then, you know, being a good influence, because for a lot of people that, you know, feel very vulnerable, you know, it's so easy to blame conditions and other people around us that they're the reason why my life is not going good. And when you have God, you feel a little bit more like I can let go of controlling stuff, because God's got it, you know? So yeah, I think that that's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we have to remember we're not following Christians, because Christians are flawed and we all have our negative stuff that we, you know, either purposefully or inadvertently do, but we're really following Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so
yeah.
He's the one that's who our faith is based on. And yeah, it is unfortunate that, I mean, I know I've done it in the past where I haven't been a good example of it to people, and it's like, okay, I have to learn from it and apologize when it's appropriate if I do it in time. But we don't want to put our hopes in even pastors or leaders, because they make mistakes as well, and then we don't want that to be like, well, now I'm not going to believe in God anymore. But because really, it's not, we're not, our faith shouldn't be in people. Our faith always needs to be in Jesus. And
yeah, that's true.
I think that's a mic drop moment. So as we sign off, just thanks again, Jake, for coming on. We really appreciate it. And like we said, we'd love to have you come back on again.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would be cool. I mean, I would enjoy, being on, you know, either coming here more often or I don't know. I like talking.
you're a conversationalist.
Conversationalist. I think it really does bring out, it uplifts a little bit. I always feel like every day, you know, if you go on a walk and talk with somebody, it's pretty uplifting and just gets the momentum going. So
yeah. Awesome.
All right. Awesome. So check back soon. Jake will be back.
Yeah.
All right. So until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.
Thank you.